You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're spending this time, this hour, with an educator looking at how to incorporate climate change instruction in the classroom and where it fits in. But first, let's take a moment to talk about WPR's winter member drive that is now underway. I'm here with Mike Crane. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 10 new and returning members. Thank you to everybody for making those gifts. Well, right now, we have a special opportunity. When you make a gift of any amount, we'll have a donor that is going to make an additional $100 contribution. So make that gift of any amount.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So increase the impact of your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So there's radio and then there's public radio. What does that mean? Well, public radio means listener-supported radio.
And while we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, it's listener support that is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Your contribution of any amount really matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been listening to the Ideas Network for a while without giving because you didn't know that we're listener supported. Well, we are, and that is the largest source of funding for the Ideas Network, and it comes from listeners like you.
Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. You're still listening, right? So now is the perfect time to support the programming that you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive, donate any amount, and you'll have five chances to win $500 for your next travel experience. No contributions necessary. You can just send us a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Travel Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane this morning, and it is your support during this winter member drive making all the WPR programs you rely on possible each and every day. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount that you choose, that is the right amount.
And we have an offer of $100 from an anonymous donor for each person who makes a contribution of any amount right now. So go ahead and do that. Giving to WPR is really easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes, fund your daily listening. Your support right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, WPR receives an additional $100 when you donate. So
love
give
that.
Now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
And as an added bonus for supporting programs you love, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. No contribution necessary. You can see all the details, WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Sustainer is making ongoing gifts. You are automatically entered.
Dana from Madison says, the morning show is my favorite wake-up alarm. That makes me smile.
I love it.
Yes, indeed. It's great to tune in and hear Kate Archer-Kent and her guests talking about whatever they're talking about, because it's something different every hour. You help make it possible. Now, by the way, if you're not a Sustainer, now is a great time to become one. It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552, and you'll be providing ongoing support for WPR.
And right now, we do have that challenge, so get in on the challenge gift. Your gift right now is powerful. It makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're getting insights on how to teach about climate change in schools and what it looks like across subjects. Last year, a national NPR and Ipsos poll found that more than 8 in 10 teachers support teaching kids about climate change. But teachers want more ideas. They want more resources to take on the topic. Were you taught about the changing climate in school? How did it fit into your curriculum? What impression did it make? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. The conversation is at 800-642-1234. Noah Weith Feinstein is an associate professor of curriculum and instruction and community and environmental sociology at UW-Madison. He directs the Holtz Center for Science and Technology Studies. Noah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So give us the landscape here as you talk with educators around the state, as you look at curriculums. How are teachers currently approaching their teaching about climate change in the classroom?
That's a really good question. Climate change is something which, as you know, can be complicated to present in any sort of setting where you've got kids from all walks of life and all political backgrounds whose families believe all sorts of different things. And part because of that, a lot of teachers have historically avoided talking about climate change. We know from surveys that have been done by colleagues here at UW-Madison and elsewhere that teachers tend to dance around it and that the way that they approach it may be different depending on whether they're teaching science, for instance, or social studies. But one of the things that we're happy about is that right now it's becoming more common and more supported for teachers in science classrooms, at least, to be able to talk a little bit about what's going on in the climate systems and the weather outcomes of those climate systems. This is the stuff we experience every day, what's going on outside right now. And so, for instance, now teachers are supported in the Next Generation Science Standards in talking about changing climate systems. And that's really exciting because before there didn't used to be resources to talk about that stuff, and now there is.
What are the Next Generation Standards?
Well, so a few years ago, there was a cooperative project between many states in the country to try to come together around a different way of thinking about science education and what we're now calling STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. I'm sure everybody's heard of that. At least if you have a kid in school, you've definitely heard of it. And those states decided that it would be better if they coordinated around a particular key set of ideas and what we're calling scientific practices, which are ways of thinking about doing science. And so now there's this thing called the Next Generation Science Standards, which if you teach in one of those STEM fields, you can look to as a sort of guidance on how to teach about STEM subjects. Now, of course, as you all probably know, science education in this country is not something that the federal government decides. There's not one program of science education. Every state does it their own way, and within every state, a lot of districts sort of go their own way, and within every district, teachers do their own thing. So they're just really advisory. But for the first time, it's nice to have some attention to those subjects, like climate change, in those standards.
You've been researching and thinking about climate change adaptation. What is climate change adaptation?
Sure. So the work that I do and the work that I do with colleagues starts from an alarming reality, which is that even if we stopped emitting carbon dioxide today, which we're not going to do because it's very hard, even if there was the political will to shut down all those coal and oil fired power plants and turn off all the cars that run on gasoline, even if we did that today, our kids are going to grow up in a very different world. And it's a world in which changing climate conditions threaten the stability of human society. Now, it's important to slow and stop carbon emissions, but we also need to think about adapting to that changing world. And education is one piece of how societies change. Whether that education goes on inside or outside schools, that should be a part of preparing our children to live in a pretty different planet.
Now, you've talked about how scientists have an idea of what this world is going to look like, and they have concrete ideas on how we should adapt, but they can't bring these top-down ideas and say, hey, do this community, because it really has to come from the community as well.
Absolutely. Climate change is super local, and it's local in a couple of ways. One of them is that the particular consequences that you experience from climate change are going to depend enormously on where you live. So, for instance, if you live in a place which is becoming hotter and warmer and wetter, which is everywhere, but which is right at the sort of bleeding edge of that, then you may be experiencing differences in, for instance, mosquito-borne diseases, right? We're even getting a little bit of that in Wisconsin as the summer lengthens out and the cold is intense enough to kill off all the bugs during the wintertime. On the other hand, if you live on the banks of the Mississippi River, you're probably pretty aware of how things are changing in the spring. We had really awful flooding last year. There are these vivid pictures of ice boulders that turned up in people's fields and backyards, people who've lived far enough from what they thought was the floodplain that they figured that they weren't going to be vulnerable to that. Well, based on what I've heard about the ground saturation this year, we're going to get flooding again. And so local conditions determine a lot about the sort of adaptation which is needed. And that's true also of local political conditions. Is there support for, you know, moving people off the floodplain? Is there support for public health? Those things determine what a community has to do.
We're talking with Noah Weith-Feinstein about how to teach about climate change, how to think about it. He directs the Holt Center for Science and Technology Studies at UW-Madison. Do you think climate change is difficult to teach? Why is that? What could schools do to increase the effectiveness of climate change education? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment. We'll continue this conversation ahead on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about how to teach about climate change in the classroom. But right now, let's get an update on the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive that is going strong. I'm here with Mike Crane. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time, a few minutes to support your future listening of WPR.org. Or WPR.
You can do both. That's
you
right.
You can do both.
And, you know, the reason we're talking with you right now is that listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the Ideas Network and all the programs you count on. And that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we have a great opportunity right now. We have a challenge. It is from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund, remembering a generous listener and an avid Badger fan. They'll donate an additional $100 when you give this hour, an additional $100. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio program when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, this is wonderful. Let's make this clear. It's when you pledge and then you over there pledge. It's $100 for every gift. We'd love to hear from you. You know, on the wonderful Ideas Network programs like The Morning Show, you hear all kinds of things. You hear policymakers and politicos. You hear scientists. You hear educators. And you learn so much about all kinds of topics, state and national and international.
Like on Mondays during the State Capitol Report, we cover the legislative sessions. We cover state elections, budget issues, the state Supreme Court, so much more. Then on Fridays, we have fun exploring all over our state what it has to offer with Wisconsin Weekend.
And we cover a lot of ground every week, and you are a part of it as a listener and a caller and, we hope, a contributor. Support this valuable source of information and access to great guests with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation even easier when you become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you. Set it, say $10 or $20 a month, and have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. Start making those ongoing monthly gifts now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is a powerful way to support the WPR programs you love.
This member drive, we've got a fun new thank you gift, the WPR knit hat. Made for a timeless style and comfort, your new hat will keep you toasty warm while showing off your WPR pride all winter long. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240 right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Mike Crane, and it's your support today, right now, of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs, the depth and the breadth you enjoy going strong. Whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
The day is young. Make a difference before you even leave the house. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you will have made a great start to your day.
And remember, this hour, WPR will receive an additional, an added $100 from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund when you donate. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
Show your support for WPR and ask for the new WPR hat. It's a navy knit cap. It's stylish and cozy. It looks really great. And it's yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount that is, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your gift right now is so important. It's easy to do at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Right now, we're looking at the challenges in teaching about climate change. Late last year, a Yale University climate study found about 2 in 3 Americans believe global warming is happening. It found 3 out of 4 respondents think schools should teach children about the causes and the consequences and potential solutions to climate change. How would you design the teaching? What should young people know? Join in 800-642-1234. The conversation is at 800-642-1234. Noah Weith Feinstein is an associate professor of curriculum and instruction and community and environmental sociology at UW-Madison. He stays with us. So, Noah, there are several roles that education can play in teaching young children and teenagers about climate change adaptation. What are some of those roles?
Sure. One thing which I think is important to know about education is that people tend to think kids instantly when you say education. But education is actually much bigger than that. So here at UW-Madison, we have 40,000 people who are at least legally adults who are enrolled in school of some sort, and they're part of the picture too. And beyond that, if you are an emergency responder or if you are a journalist, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, you're engaged in professional education throughout your life. If you're a farmer, you've got a county extension agent helping you. And so all of those forms of education, what we think of broadly as systematic support for learning, those are things that can be part of the picture of learning about climate change far beyond schools. So when I think about climate change education for adaptation, the specific purpose of helping society adapt to a changing world, what really stands out to me are 3 things. One is that the thing that we think about is basic education, foundational, literacy, numeracy, critical thinking, all those things that come to your mind first. It turns out that that stuff is really important. And if you are planning to develop your education system or to strengthen it here in this country, or if you're a country which is expanding out primary education, I had the chance to visit Uganda a few years ago and see the way that they're expanding to universal primary education, that strengthening those basic systems of education is a really important way to build adaptive capacity. And that turns out to be, oh, I should pause about that, I guess. Adaptive capacity is one way of talking about how a society can be resilient in the face of changing climate. Things like increased flooding, increased diseases, all the things that we think about as climate change consequences. Now, it turns out that that basic education is particularly important when it serves underserved audiences. In some places, that includes girls and women who have less access to education. In other places, it includes groups of people who are less well-served by the schools. And the better education can be, just that basic educational system, literacy, numeracy, critical thinking, the better that that serves groups of people who have less access to education, the more resilient a society is. And so that's one way that education can really help with the complicated problems of adaptation. Another way is that when you think about what a school system is or what an education system is, we build a huge amount of infrastructure around education. And when we think about infrastructure, we might think about roads. Like that's probably the thing that people think about most often, roads, bridges. But think about schools. Think about how many schools there are in the state of Wisconsin, how many schools there are in this country, in any country. All of those schools can either make the people in them more vulnerable to climate change or less vulnerable. So if your school is built too close to a river, too close to a seashore, if it's built in such a way that it heats up a lot during the day, then all of those things can make the kids and the teachers inside them more vulnerable.
You mentioned girls and women. One teenage girl, Greta Thunberg, has become a real world-famous face of the climate strike movement. What are you seeing out of young adults and how they are setting a standard on how to teach climate change?
It's really the most amazing thing happening in education right now is the way that I feel like leadership at learning about climate change has shifted from the teachers and the curricula in many ways to the kids. And I think that there's a growing awareness, and it comes in part from where kids get their news and where they get their media today and how that flows through a lot of new and interesting channels. A lot of them get it from other kids. And when they see other kids who are deeply concerned about climate change, then they feel like it's their responsibility to tell each other and teach each other. And they've stopped waiting for us to do it for them. And I think Greta Thunberg is a really good example of that.
We're talking with Noah Weith-Feinstein, who directs the Holt Center for Science and Technology Studies at UW-Madison. We're exploring the place of climate change in the curriculum, how educators are approaching it. What resources have you found that inform how you teach or convey the effects of climate change to young people? How do you think climate change discussions and activities fit into the curriculum? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back for more right after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A quick programming note here. Join us this afternoon at 1 for the annual State of the Tribes address, streaming online at WPR.org. Forest County Potawatomi Chairman Ned Daniels presents the address before a joint session of the legislature, and you can catch a rebroadcast of the State of the Tribes address this evening at 7 right here on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're having a conversation about how to teach about the effects of global warming and the strategies educators use in the classroom. But first, let's take some time to talk about WPR's Winter Member Drive that is officially off and running. I'm here with Mike Crane. Good morning.
Good morning.
And this is a time to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is a special time, too, because we have an opportunity. Merle Gunther Memorial Fund has said that they will contribute an extra $100 for every gift that is made this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So boost the impact of your contribution right now. Get that extra $100 working for WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
These thoughtful conversations we have here on the Ideas Network, there's something that you can learn each day. Right now we're talking about climate change and how young people approach it, what classroom teachers, how they approach it in their curriculum, and your thoughts on it as well, always joining into the conversation. These are the kinds of discussions that you count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888 202 2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
We have a great opportunity right now with the challenge from the Merle M. Gunther Fund. They'll donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable. But nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you so much, John. Give like John has at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Mike Crane. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this winter member drive, so critical, so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you set, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You know, once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for, and WPR is one of the places where that's true every day. How about considering a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love?
It's hard to buy a lot for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to $60 a month. You make that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, because of the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund, WPR will receive an additional $100 for every donation made this hour. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
And as an added bonus for supporting programs you love, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks.
Right now we're talking about our changing climate and how it's taught in the classroom, especially as anxiety among young people runs high. There was this Washington Post Kaiser Family Foundation poll of American teenagers done last fall. Nearly 3 in 5 said that climate change made them feel scared. About half said it made them feel angry. Do you feel eco-anxiety, as they call it? Teenagers, let's hear from you. Do you discuss your fears about climate change with your friends? What do your teachers say? We're at 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. 800-642-1234. Noah Weith-Feinstein is our guide. He directs the Center for Science and Technology Studies at UW-Madison. Noah, we heard from Michael in Milwaukee, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Michael knows climate change is real, but Michael is really discouraged that anything will get done about it. And Michael thinks the issue is way too politicized right now, and we should instead focus on adapting to the new reality. What are your thoughts there?
It's a really important point. Regardless of what we do to try to stop climate change from getting worse, we're stuck with a certain amount of it right now. So Michael's right on that we need to be adapting. And one of the magical things about adaptation, at least where education is concerned, is that you don't actually have to talk about climate change to do it. That the circumstances that every community is in, again, whether it's flooding or high temperatures at night that cause heat stroke, things like that, those are things that people are aware of, whether they put the label climate change on them or not. So one of the ways that adaptation changes the discussion around education and climate change is that it lets you focus on what's going on now and what's likely to happen in the near future, and the way that the systems that we depend on, health, transportation, all those things need to adapt to create room for us to survive and thrive in a different world.
So it actually, removing the label climate change, because it has baggage, helps for people in a community to create some ways to adapt because they're focused on their situation, their reality, regardless of what climate change has to do with it.
Yeah, look, sooner or later, we're going to need to talk about climate change. But I'm a big believer in if you can't have the conversation you want to have, then you can have the conversation that you can have. And people are acutely aware of the things which are going on in their communities. When it floods, people know. When there's a drought and the crop planting changes, people know. When there's a heat wave, people know about those things. So if you're in a place politically, locally, where you can't talk about climate change, where that doesn't feel comfortable or possible, particularly if you're an educator and it's sensitive, then one of the things that you can do is focus on the way that your community is changing. And that creates room to talk about what your community needs in a way that a lot of people can really plug into.
What do you do about the anxiety that we see in students, in the classroom, with kids who are really scared about what might happen?
Well, as Greta Thunberg would say, being scared is probably a good thing. The place where it gets dangerous is where it stops you from acting, is where it paralyzes you and makes you feel like there's nothing you can do to make a difference. And that's another place where adaptation is really important. Because the big picture stuff about climate change, reducing global emissions, that often feels like something that you, as a kid or as an adult, can't do too much about. And of course, you need to stay tuned in, you need to stay active, you need to do what you can. But when you think about things like, you know, are you prepared for an emergency? That's the sort of thing which you can do a little bit of something to make you feel a little bit better, to make you feel like you are doing something meaningful, to actually do something meaningful, to get to know the way that your community is going to respond if there's another flood, to draw attention to that among your local political leaders.
Let's take a call now. Andrew is with us from Eagle. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What is on your mind about kids and climate change?
So the point that I wanted to call and make is that kids nowadays, even when I was in high school, they're being sent two different messages. In biology, they're taught about how for photosynthesis to occur, that plants need CO2, sunlight, and water. And that without that, photosynthesis wouldn't occur and life as we know it on Earth wouldn't be able to be sustained. Yet on the other hand, they're being taught that, well, if we don't eliminate CO2 or drastically reduce it, we're going to kill the planet and everybody is going to basically cook because things are going to get continually hotter. And I think that they have abandoned biology, at least plant biology and botany, and say, well, we're not going to acknowledge that anymore. We just have to eliminate CO2 altogether.
So Andrew is saying that the actual biology curriculum has changed, has been skewed due to the effects of climate change and what the teachings of climate change.
I think there's some people that are trying to figure out why do we think that carbon dioxide is something that we need to worry about when it's really important for a process like photosynthesis? Because kids are being taught that in school. That's a good question. But I think that, well, think about this. We all need to drink water, right? Water is really important for us. But if you get too much water, particularly if you find yourself drowning in it, that can be a problem. And I think that a lot of kids understand that. And I don't think there's actually a paradox here. You know, some carbon dioxide is really important. The right amount of carbon dioxide is really important. But nature, natural systems are all about balances. They're all about how much you have of one thing versus another thing. And if you start really changing how much carbon dioxide there is in the system, it's good for some plants, it's bad for others. And as we know, it also has a warming effect on our planet, which changes a lot of stuff. So yes, carbon dioxide is important for photosynthesis, but that doesn't mean that we can put as much of it as we want into the atmosphere and not expect consequences.
New Orleans is a city certainly dealing with the effects of climate change, losing land every day. And some science teachers there are regularly supplementing out-of-date textbooks with data from the federal government, from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports. What do you see out there in terms of textbook education, and is supplementing the information necessary?
We're in a really exciting place as far as curriculum goes. I think that for most of my life, probably for most of your life, and if you're out there, if you've got kids in school right now, you're probably thinking back to your school experience, and you think a lot about textbooks. Textbooks aren't the be-all and end-all of curriculum anymore. A lot of teachers are getting curriculum from many places. They're encouraged to get them from many places, even by their districts and their state governments. There are a lot of really wonderful resources available through curriculum producers online and so on and so forth. And so I think that there are places to look to get other sources of climate change information. My favorite stuff, I'll tell you, I worked with an ag teacher once, and the way that he talked about climate change in his class was around ice fishing. Hmm. He looked at these charts of lake ice level at the lake in the town where he taught, and he was able to sort of chart out by data that everyone had access to how there were fewer days where you could ice fish because there was less ice cover on the lake. And there's nothing like that, something which is really local. It's not from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It just brings climate change and the experience of climate change right down home, and it tells you how things are changing where you are. And I think that that sort of information does a couple of things. It makes it really real and concrete, and it also makes it something that you feel like you could do something about where you are. And that's the sort of information which feels particularly important.
Making it very accessible.
Local. Yeah.
Local.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, there are people who think that climate change should not be taught in schools. It should be kept out of the curriculum. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, I think that we've for many years now been dealing with climate change as something which is a scientific controversy. And I think that the scientific controversy is sort of over. But just because the scientific controversy is over doesn't mean the social controversy is over. And this is where I think it's really important for teachers in all sorts of fields to get involved in thinking and talking about what climate change is and what it means for our society. So, for instance, today, mostly we've been talking about climate change as a science education thing. But you know what teachers are actually really good at thinking about social controversy is your social studies teachers. Oftentimes, science teachers are really comfortable with data, but they're very uncomfortable with thinking about how different groups have different perspectives on something which is important to society. The teachers who are good at that, on the other hand, are the social studies teachers. They haven't necessarily felt like they have a place in climate change education, but this is their time, it's their moment to bring different perspectives together, to work with science teachers around the data that matters, and to focus on issues which are of local importance so we can get out of this, is it real, is it not real, and to a place about what do we do about the fact that it's hotter at night and the river's flooding.
And certainly across the curriculum, you could see it coming into language arts. You could see it coming into art, maybe even gym. Who knows?
Absolutely. So what you were talking about before, the anxiety that kids feel and their experience of a changing world, that's something which I think English and language arts teachers and arts teachers and music teachers are probably better positioned to provide an outlet for than your science and your social studies teachers. And so this is really something that everyone can get involved in, particularly when we get to this very personal, local stuff around adaptation.
As we wrap up here, I'm wondering, where can teachers find the most support when it is difficult conversations that they have to relate to their classrooms, and that you had mentioned at the outset that these are kids who come from all different perspectives in their home, that they might have been told many different things. Where do teachers find support?
Well, like members of most professions, teachers find a lot of support from each other. And I think that finding other teachers who are also thinking about this, talking about it with them, feeling like they don't have to be on their own in front of their classes doing their own thing, but they actually have other colleagues and other people to talk to, figuring out who that network is and trading ideas, figuring out, you know, when somebody came to you and they had serious questions about their own anxiety about climate change, how did you respond to that? When someone was facing political resistance, how did they respond to that? And I think the teachers really are the best support for each other.
Noah, thank you for joining us. Noah Weith-Feinstein is an associate professor of curriculum and instruction and community and environmental sociology at UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on the morning show here on the Ideas Network. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I'm here with Mike Crane. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like the morning show. Support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding for the programs you value, and that is why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And Kate, we have a special opportunity right now. It is a great time to donate because the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund, which is remembering a generous listener and an avid Badger fan, will add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. And it's going really well. A lot of people are taking advantage. How about you? It's a great time to donate. Boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour of the morning show, we've been talking about climate change and what teachers are doing in their classrooms with a scientist from UW-Madison. These are the types of conversations that you have come to expect on the Ideas Network. They inform, they enlighten, they give you ideas, right?
Right.
So you count on this from these types of conversations, and we count on you.
WPR is listener-supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the topics like this and every topic you tune in for during the day and in the evening. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And then get that brand new cozy and stylish WPR hat. This knit hat is USA made right here in Wisconsin. Support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride wherever you go. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable, but nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yes, be a sustainer. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Mike Crane. It's your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. And your gift right now of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
That's right. And you know, we have a great opportunity right now as we're coming up to the end of this hour. We have a generous gift from the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund. Here it is. They're going to donate an additional $100 to everybody or to the station for everybody that gives this hour. Increase the impact of your support for WPR and the Ideas Network when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a huge thank you to everyone who has contributed today. WPR is listener supported. That means your gift keeps Wisconsin Public Radio, keeps the strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount, for instance, $10 or $20 a month, and support your listening each day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, a really neat point that Noah Weith Feinstein made during the hour. He mentioned that education is something that doesn't just happen in the classroom. It happens throughout life. Mm. And that's something that happens when you tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio. You're always learning. No matter how young or old you are, you get great stuff. And it needs your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, WPR is receiving an additional $100 from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund. When you donate, show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. And Ask for the new WPR hat, navy knit cap, both stylish, cozy. It's yours when you give $20 a month or more. Now is the perfect time to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.